Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for another hour of fellowship, the word of God. As we go into it, we know it brings light and understanding to us. So let it be even today, hallelujah, as we share your word. Let that light shine in our hearts, giving us understanding, revelation, and faith in the name of Jesus Christ. So Lord, we thank you. We give you all the praise and we give you all the glory for everyone that's in the room with us today. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. And those that are coming in and later and those that will be listening to the replays. We thank you for everyone in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. All right. Well, let's get right to it. Today I'm talking about providence, destiny, and destiny helpers. Hallelujah. So that's what I'm going to be talking about. But before I do that, let me read to you a couple of scriptures. That's my prayer this morning. And indeed, every time, you know, that I come on here to share the word of God, this is what's in my heart. Give ear, O ye heavens, Deuteronomy chapter 32, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as a small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord, and ascribe ye greatness unto our God. For he is the rock, his work is perfect. All these ways are judgment, a God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is he. Hallelujah. Today's lesson, by the grace of God, providence, destiny, and destiny helpers. Very important lesson we want to share today. And I pray that my word will drop as rain, drop as the dew. I pray that my tongue will be as the pen of a ready writer. That's what Isaiah says in the book of Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 4. And that I may know how to speak a word to him that is weary. That's right. Morning by morning, witness mine ear to hear as the learned. You know, I want everyone to read that Isaiah 50 and 4, just a few verses before the one I gave us a while back, that we should make it as a declaration of faith. You will remember Isaiah 50 and 7. Well, this one is Isaiah 50 and 4. And we should, commit that to heart as well. May the Lord give me the tongue of the learned, that I may know how to speak a word to him that is weary. In season, to him that is weary. Morning by morning, he waken my ear to hear as the learned. That's a prayer for both the speaker and the listener here on this morning. And so I pray that that's the case. And let's get to it. Providence and destiny. What is destiny? Well, destiny is something that will occur. You know, it is preordained by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. You know, so destiny is kind of like, there's two ways you can look at it. You can also look at it as something that will happen or someplace that you will get to. When you talk about someplace you will get to, we call it destination. It's all part of that same root word, destiny and destination. Well, I'm going to be talking about some, incredible destinies that God has put in that, out there in his eternal plans. And we're going to be talking about, there are major destinies. There are also some minor destinies along the way. They all work together. In the book of Acts chapter 2, I'll just give you some background here. Acts chapter 2, verse 23. And you may know this story in Acts chapter 2. This was the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. And when Peter stood up, he spoke about many things, you know, and he brought a great message, and he talked to them about so many things. But here, let me read it from verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He was, you know, referring to the prophecy of Joel here. And then he said, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourself also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. And he went on to indict them, saying, whom God raised up, you know, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding by it, and so on and so forth. So the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you know, puts things into place that we call destiny. Now, people call it destiny because they, you know, just think that, well, it's just going to happen. Well, but we're going to learn a few things about how that works today. There is also providence. Providence is, you know, some people call it divine providence, but I just call it providence because there's no other providence. It's all divine. It's the continuous, the way I define it, continuous act of God to protect, to guard, and to make provision to ensure that what he has preordained, that is the destiny, will come to pass. So there is destiny on one hand, and there is providence on the other hand. So God, you know, God's providence will protect that destiny and make sure it comes to pass. Now, there are many things that God says. You know, there's sometimes we look at some promises in the Word of God. I want you to re-examine some things today in the concept or context of this message and teaching today. Even when we look at things like Jeremiah 29:11. Where God says, well, my thoughts towards you are for peace, for good, not for evil, you know, and so forth like that, you know, to bring you to an expected end. All of us, many people quote that scripture from time to time. It's a good one. To bring you to an expected end. What is that expected end? Well, that's a destiny, you know, but God is saying that my providence, that's right, will guide you to that end. That one verse alone, you know, encompasses many things that we're going to be talking about today. There is something that God has in mind. And for you, it's called the expected end. But he will get you there by his providence. And along the way today, we're going to be talking about, you know, what that all means. You know, from God's perspective, it's called the expected end. He knows it. You may not know it. Now, here's one punchline right now. Let me put this one right out. This is one of the things coming out of this lesson today. Just because you did not plan for it, or you are not planning for it, does not say that it's not your destiny. All right? And I'm going to show you examples in the Bible. I mean, just because you are not expecting it or not planning for it or don't even know anything about it, that doesn't mean it's not your destiny. You know, it may be your destiny. You may know nothing about it at the moment, but that doesn't make it to not be your destiny. I will show you examples in the Bible, many people like that, you know, but why is this important? You know, that's what we're going to find out. This is going to give us confidence. It's supposed to be a faith booster, you know, when we go through all of this today. You know, there are major and minor destinies throughout this Bible. You know, one of the major destinies for the children of God, you know, in fact, you might say the major destiny, not even one, the major, the prime, the ultimate destiny for the sons of God, the children of God, is which we have talked about from time to even recently, is what he declared from the beginning. You know, he said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let him have dominion. So that's what he said. So that's what's going to happen. Now, what God says, you know, that he calls out, that's going to happen, you can call it destiny. Because that's one way of looking at it. It's going to happen. So that's what he said. Now, God doesn't make prediction. God doesn't even prophesy. And that's, all of those things are in our realm. You know, human beings prophesy. Human beings make prediction. God doesn't do any of that. God calls the end from the beginning. He just says it the way it is. Because he's already seen it. He has perfect knowledge of everything. And, you know, and even if he wasn't there, he thought about it. And because he thought about it, he's going to bring it out. Just like he thought, you know, well, you know, he imagined various things and he created them and called them forth. We covered that already. You know, so God doesn't make predictions. God doesn't prophesy anything. It's human beings that prophesy. Human beings that make predictions. And sometimes they are wrong. You know, sometimes prophecies will fail. God never fails because he's already seen it. And it's exactly the way it is. And he says it. And because he said it, it will come to pass. You know, so that's in a way. You can call that destiny. That's the prime destiny. Romans 8:29 talks about that. We've been talking about it lately. You know, that we must come. He said, who he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. That is, he predetermined their destiny to be conformed to the image of his son. So, that is our ultimate destiny. That's it. You know, we are going to be conformed to the image of the Christ. That's ultimate number one. Everything else around that, you know, everything else that's in the Bible, you know, all these things, it's all heading towards that. The people of God, whom God has foreknown, we will be conformed. We are coming the predestination, that's right. What God predetermined concerning us is that we will be conformed to the image of his son. It's the, God didn't predestine that one person be saved or the other be lost. That's not the point. The point is he predestined that those whom he foreknew will become just like the Christ. Now, anything else outside of that is all... So secondary, you know, that all that happened in the scriptures was to bring that to pass. That coming of the Christ himself was to restore the road to make that happen. That was part of God's providence to make sure that that destiny for the sons of God will happen. There are a few things that God said along the way. Well, God knowing that all that will happen, that even the fall will happen, the lamb was slain before the war began. That's providence. God's providence making provision for the way back, even before it happened. And God said some things in the garden. Here, you might call this destiny. God said, you know, well, the serpent will bruise your heel. That's going to happen. To the seed of the woman. So we know that the serpent was going to do something to that seed of the woman. We might call that destiny. But he also said that the seed of the woman will bruise his head. That's also destiny. That was going to happen, and it did happen. We saw that the devil put Christ on the cross. But we saw that Christ also came out of that, blasted out of that grave, went to the, you know, hell and everywhere else, and spoiled principalities and powers. We've covered that already. So, you know, those were destinies, but there were acts of providence along the way to make sure that that happened. And we will talk about that. But I want to talk about some lesser stories in the Bible before we get into the greatest story. The lesser stories in the Bible, which are easier for us to relate to. And let's just look at, you know, some things in the Bible, you know, people in the Bible, and it may help us to build up to the greatest story of this all. Let's look at a few people. Now, remember what I said, that just because you didn't plan for it, or you are not planning for it, does not make it to not be your destiny. It might be your destiny, even if you know nothing about it. You know, so let's consider a few stories. There are many, but I will only bring out a few because of time. Here are some prominent ones that you may know their stories already. Well, let's bring out these aspects out of their story. Moses. Moses was born at a time, you know, when Pharaoh wanted to kill everybody. He said, well, these people are multiplying now, right? And, you know, they might even join with our enemies and so on and so forth. You know, so kill all the male children. Now, Moses was born during that time. And since you know that story, let me start with that one. Now, you know, the things that happened around Moses' birth, they were some very serious situations. His mother was in jeopardy of losing her son. You know, but there were going to be some things that God will put in place as well. There was a something for Moses. Moses knew nothing about it. It was just a baby. Even his mother knew nothing about it. But God would raise up. Now, part of this lesson today is also destiny helpers. Now, God would raise up a couple of destiny helpers, you know, along the way for Moses. Now, Moses had no clue what he was going to be. His mother had no clue what it was going to be. His sister Miriam had no clue what it was going to be. Even, you know, Pharaoh's sister had no clue what it was going to be. But all of these people, you know, played a role in Moses' life. First, the mother, when she heard that commandment, all the male children should be, you know, killed, thrown into the Nile and so forth, and all of that stuff. Well, she built a little, you know, casket. I mean, a little basket, put a little baby in it, and then set it, you know, just set it up, you know, and it sent his sister to watch and see what happens. What will become of the child? Well, you all know the story. I'm just going to paraphrase quickly. Well, you know, as that was happening, first of all, we see that his mother was not, the Bible says she was not afraid of the king's commandment, but she was going to do everything to protect her son's life. His sister also helping along. You know, so it came to pass, you know, when Pharaoh's sister came to the river to do her thing, you know, she was going to bathe and bask in the river and so forth, that she saw that and say, hey, what is this thing? And she went to grab it. And meanwhile, the sister was hiding in the corner somewhere, and she steps up. And then she discovers that, you know, they discover that there's a child in that. Well, and now God put in all these things in place. This woman didn't have a child of herself. And so she's thinking that, oh, maybe the gods of the Nile or the gods of something have sent me a child. You know, she's thinking that in her head, you know, because they are all heathen, right? So he said, well, I'm going to take this child. So his sister steps out of the bush where she's hiding and says, oh, you know, let me see if I can find. Well, she's a little girl. She's not no threat to anybody. Only the males who are threat. He said, oh, let me see if I can find you somebody to nurse that child. And you're going to need somebody, right? And said, yeah, let's go do it. You know, so you can see a couple of destiny helpers already. The mother, Pharaoh's sister, Moses' sister herself. She goes and calls Moses' mother. Doesn't tell the lady that is the mother of the child. She'll say, well, you know, here's one of the Hebrew women. So, I mean, you can, you know, she can help you nurse the child. So, okay, cool. Come on in. Little did they know that it was the very mother of the child. You know, so God set it up that way. And the very mother of the child would nurse the child. I mean, she would care for that child better than anybody else. Because it was her own very child. You know, and she was getting paid to do it. Amazing story. Anyway, you know the rest of the story. Moses grows up and so on and so forth. Now, Moses did not know many things. But while he was inside, you know, the palace being brought up, he was actually being groomed. He could have been groomed to become something, prince of Egypt or something. You know, he learned a lot of things. He learned, how to fight. He learned a lot of things and so on and so forth. Well, along the way, he began to probably guess that he was really not an Egyptian. You know, maybe he began to see, learn from his mother, and she was being careful not to say too much because she could be killed if she revealed that. Because, you know, Pharaoh's sister was making like it was her son and all that. So you know the rest of the story. And God was putting things in place. Well, after a while, he fled from Egypt because of what he did. God will set up yet other destiny helpers along the way for him. Too long a story to tell them all. But Jethro, who became his father-in-law, would be yet another destiny helper. You know, there was a point in time that Pharaoh encouraged him. Jethro encouraged him. And even Jethro advised him, you know, after he came out with all those people. And Jethro advised him how to do, gave him good counsel. You're going to kill yourself. You're going to wear these people out. You're going to kill yourself. You can't do this all by yourself. And so on and so forth. So, you know the story of Moses. Moses became a deliverer to these people, even though he wasn't planning on it. But he began to have an ambition at some time to defend or avenge the injustice. But he didn't really know what God had in store for him until he had the encounter at the burning bush and heard the voice and the, you know, instructions that God gave him. So let's move on. There's also the story of Joseph. I'm not saying this in any chronological order. You know, the story of Joseph, which you all know. Fabulous story. And Joseph, as you know, favored by his father among all the brethren. And he, you know, God was showing him these dreams. He had these dreams. He didn't interpret the dreams. He just put the dreams out there. But because he, you know, didn't keep the dreams to himself, he would open his mouth and say the dreams. And everybody was saying, well, what are you saying? Are you saying that we are going to be, you're going to be greater than us? We're going to bow down to you? And so he just put it out there, you know. So because of all of that, and because his father favored him among the others, they hated him, you know. They hated him. And this thing happens to people all the time. When the anointing of God comes upon you for selection, you know, election of grace, and God puts that upon somebody, he puts a target on their backs. We'll see a couple more stories in a minute. And so they hated him. And they plotted all kinds of things. You know the story. God raised up a couple. Well, now, all his brethren were what we can call would be destiny destroyers. They would be destiny destroyers, because they said, well, let's kill him and let's see what will become of those dreams. But they were envious of him and they hated him. But even among the would be destiny destroyers, God would raise up destiny helpers. The first of them was Reuben. Reuben, I mean, who was the eldest and so on, said, well, let's not kill him. You know, but let's throw him over here. And because he was thinking in his heart that he would come back and save him. You know, he didn't really want to kill him. I was destiny helper number one. And then later, Judah, also destiny helper number two, among the would-be destiny destroyers, said, well, you know, why let him rot here in the grave? I mean, in this pit. There's a band of Ishmaelites. Let's sell him over there. And so on. So they sold him. They divided the money among themselves. Well, you know, now, the young teenager carried away so many miles away. And the whole time, even though God showed him those dreams, he never really knew, you know, what it would be. Even his father didn't understand. Nobody did. And you know the story. One day he landed in prison for a crime that he did not commit. And as God was preparing him for greater things, you know, he was there. But I want to bring out something else too. One of the things that led to the greatness eventually that Joseph would experience was his compassion. You know, we don't often talk about that, but it was part of the story. And it was a crucial piece in the story because he saw those baker and butler every day and everything was cool. But one day, you know, one day he saw that their countenances were falling. And, you know, on that day he said, well, why do you look so sadly today? And the compassion that he had in his heart. Remember, Colossians 4 and 6. Let your words be always with grace, seasoned with salt. You know, to be, you know, just like in Isaiah 50 verse 4 that we read. That you may know how to speak to someone that is weary. And Joseph exercised this. And he saw that their faces were down. He said, why are your faces down? Then they told him their dreams. Well, if he hadn't asked that question, they would not have told him his dream, those dreams. And it was his interpretation of those dreams that finally gave him an opportunity to be standing in front of Pharaoh more than 2 years later. Now, a lot of things happened, but it started with his compassionate heart. Why is your countenance falling today? You know, that's where it started. And so when they told him, well, unfortunately for the baker, things didn't work out well. But for the butler, he got back into favor with the king. But yet he forgot Joseph in prison for 2 more years. Well, you know, God would not leave his word without being fulfilled. Providence was guiding Joseph all along the way. I want you to see how these things work together. Providence was guiding him even when he was in prison. Providence guided him, gave him favor to make him become the manager of the prison, which is what gave him access to all the other prisoners. If he wasn't put in charge, he wouldn't have had access to them. He would just be in his own cell and he would not have access to anybody else. So Providence found him even when he was in trouble. Trouble not for anything he did, you know, but the Providence put him in charge to give him access to the prisoners, you know, and his compassion in his heart, you know, led him to ask what was wrong with them and so on and so forth. So you can see how these things are working. And finally, Pharaoh himself, you know, and you might think, oh, the woman that did him evil, she was a would-be destiny destroyer. Well, first of all, she wanted this young man to commit adultery with her and was always, you know, but trying to seduce him, but he didn't give in to that. He maintained his integrity. And so that woman, that wicked woman, lied against him, got him sent to jail or prison because her husband was a very powerful man in the land, maybe chief of army staff or whatever. She did not know she was actually a destiny helper. Now, destiny helpers are not always people that do good things. Now, let's bear that in mind. another punchline for us today. God's destiny helpers that he will bring along your way as part of his providence that's guiding you to your destiny, which you may know or not know. They are not necessarily going to be people that mean you well. They can be people that do evil, like this woman. Did evil to Joseph, got him sent to prison, but she was a destiny helper. God put her there. She did, she did all those things. God didn't ask her to do that. It was evil, but God used her, to push Joseph closer to his destiny. He had to go to prison. Otherwise, the best that he would have had was be before Potiphar. God had given him favor before Potiphar anyway. But that's as far as he could have gotten until he went to prison. But the person that sent him to prison, who meant evil against him, became his destiny helper. So she sent him to prison. She actually was helping to push him towards his destiny. At the prison, the rest of the story you know. He met these two folks, and the butler in particular, who eventually, even though it took another 2 years before he remembered him, eventually recommended him to Pharaoh for the interpretation of Pharaoh's dreams. And Pharaoh himself, the ultimate destiny helper right there. Yeah. And when after Joseph gave the interpretation of the dream and then counsel, it wasn't just the interpretation that promoted him. It was his wise counsel. And Pharaoh, he put a final stamp on it. That was the last thing in a series of God's provision acts in Joseph's life to get him to that point, which God assured him many years before that. He didn't know all that would happen along the way. God didn't tell him that you're going to become a slave and all that. And they're going to almost kill you and you're going to go to prison and all these things. All he saw was that he would be great and his family will bow down to him. But when Pharaoh said, we cannot find a man so discreet as you, who else should we look for? You are the man and I am Pharaoh. And from this day on, nothing will happen in this Egypt except by you. No one will lift a finger. Hallelujah. Let everybody bow the knee. Ooh, glory to God. And I love that story because Potiphar and his wife were among the people that bowed the knee to Joseph. Glory to God. God will anoint you the oil of gladness above your enemies, not just your fellows, but even your enemies. So we see how providence guided him there. Well, let's talk quickly about David. I can tell the story of Joseph for 5 hours, but let me stop there. Story of David. David was a man that had no idea. And remember what I said, just because you are not planning for it doesn't mean it's not your destiny. David had no idea. He was just a little shepherd boy. In fact, he was not even invited to the coronation ceremony at first. And God told Samuel to go and anoint one of the sons of Jesse. Nobody invited David. His father didn't, he was despised because he was just a little boy. And all he liked was play with the sheep and, blow the harp and all these things and so forth. So nobody thought of him as anything. He had never been to war. The others were trained in martial arts and all those things, so. They were men of war, the other ones. So, they didn't even invite him. But whether they invited him or not, it was his destiny to be the king. All right. Well, so you know the story. Finally, when he was anointed, that anointing also put a target on his back. Because after that, Saul would want to kill him. Kill him. But God raised up another destiny helper, even in the house of Saul, Jonathan, the very son of Saul. According to 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 1, and also 1 Samuel chapter 19 and verses 1 to 7, Jonathan's soul was knit to David's, and he would do anything to save David's life, even put his own life at risk against his father's will. You know, when his father found that he was trying to kill, I mean, that he was trying to help David, whom Saul was trying to kill, Saul tried to kill even Jonathan. You know, so it was that bad. But Jonathan risked his life to save David, sent him messages, you know, coded messages that nobody else will find out, or how he needed to escape for his life, and so on and so forth. You may know the rest of the story. If you don't know it, read 1 Samuel 18 and read 1 Samuel 19. Interesting stories. But even when David knew that he was going to be king finally, there was something that there is no way in the world that David would have known. Well, he's been anointed to be king now, so he knows that someday he will be king. And he's not going to take the law into his hands. You know, had opportunity to kill Saul, but he said, no, I'm not going to do it. He's the Lord's anointed. And so God, you know, loved David even more for that, because he respected God's anointing, even upon the person that was trying to kill him. You know, that's a big lesson for many of us today. You know, sometimes when you see that people are trying to do you evil, you hate them in your heart. You know, but David, no. He wouldn't even do anything against this man. He said, look, he is the Lord's anointing, and I will not raise my hand against him. I mean, Lord's anointed. Anointing was upon him. David read that, and he respected that. He showed the king, though, that, look, I had opportunity to have killed you, but why are you chasing after me? But I spared your life. And, you know, it made the man feel guilty. Well, one way or another, you know, he became king. There is this one thing that David could not have known. He could not have known that God was going to choose his throne to set upon. And God spoke about it in Psalm 89, verses 19 to 37. He said, I have found David my servant. And he spoke all those things, the sure mercy of David. I have chosen him. And even in Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 17, God said, look, I've chosen him. His throne will be before me forever. There was no way in the world that even God didn't reveal that to anybody, that he was going to do that. Glory to God. Nobody knew that. But because you knew it or you don't know it, and because you are not planning for it, it doesn't make it any less your destiny. It was his destiny. God was going to choose his throne to set upon. And the sure mercies of David will pass on to Solomon. And God did favor Solomon because of David. And David, you know, in First Chronicles 28, he gathered all the people and presented Solomon and said, look, I wanted to do this thing, build the Lord a house, but, you know, I couldn't do it. Because God said, you're not going to do it because of all these things, bloody hands and all these things. And said, well, but your son will do it. And he made provision. But all of that time, you know, before even that, David could not have known that God was going to select. And who was he? I mean, why should he be selected to be his throne that God will sit upon? I mean, think about that. You know, but yeah, that's how God does his things. Until this day, God's choice of David's throne remains the same. Despite what you may think about what David did in the case of Uriah and Bathsheba, despite all of that, the destiny of David to be the one whose throne the Lord will set upon, you know, physically in Jerusalem, you know, my goodness, New Jerusalem, that is. Now, that would be forever settled in the heavens. And he planned nothing for it. He knew nothing about it, but it was his destiny anyway. So think about that for a minute. You know, there are other people try to do evil to them. You know, lesser stories, but nonetheless, still great. There was Abraham. You know, Abraham, you know, God wanted him to be great. Chose him in Genesis 12 that he would be great. But, you know, out of his mercy, of his compassion for his nephew, Lot, whose father had died, Abraham took him to be with him. You know, after a while and all of that, conflict arose between Abraham's group and Lot's group. Their servants began to strive over so many things. And there was a tremendous conflict to the point that they could no longer dwell together. Now, providence was guiding all of this. And you know, when they could no longer dwell together, God, they had to separate. So, but Abraham, he gave Lot the right of first refusal and the right of first choice. Say, well, you choose first. You just choose anything you want, and I'll take the lesser. And he, you know, and God loved that inside of Abraham. I mean, God, you know, he put Lot ahead. It was his to start with. He brought Lot ahead, I mean, along. And yet Lot, you know, I mean, all kinds of things that happened. And Abraham stepped back and said, well, fine. It's all right. I'm not going to fight over it. You choose whatever you want. Whatever you choose, I'll go the other way. And we can, you know, the land, you know, let's separate. And so Lot looked out and picked the best of the place. He saw the one that was green, the one that was good, and everything. And he chose that. Abraham didn't care. He said, fine, you know, you choose that, I'll go the other way. And because he did that, you know, God said to him, after that Lot was separated from him, Genesis 13, 13 and 14, I want you to stand over here and look everywhere. You're going to get it all. Glory to God. And I've used that verses, you know, to preach those verses, to preach many lessons. You know, how that you must see what God's going to give you. And God said, look to the east, west, south, and north, for the land that you see, as far as your eye can see, I will give it to you. But it all happened because of that separation between Lot, you know, all that evil blood that rose up between them and all that, it all happened. But nevertheless, you know, Abraham never, you know, had any evil thoughts towards Lot. He actually went and delivered him later on in chapter 14. You know, this one was chapter 13 of Genesis. Chapter 14, when Lot was captured, Abraham gathered up people and went and delivered him and all of that. So you know this story. Anyway, providence was also working in the life of Abraham. God wanted him to be great. And that separation led to him to the point where God will bless him even more in physical possessions as well. How about the story of Esther in the Bible? Esther was a slave girl. There was no way in the world she would have been planning to become queen. She didn't know anything about it, but because she wasn't planning for it, didn't mean it wasn't her destiny. It was her destiny to become queen and to save the life of the Jews. But she knew nothing about it at first. But one thing led to another. One of her destiny helpers was Vashti the queen. You say Vashti the queen? Yes. You know, Vashti the queen had to do that evil against her husband, disrespect her husband, refuse to come at his bidding, and then, you know, just disgrace him like that among all his lords, which is what made her to be ousted. And all the, you know, chamberlains and everybody told the king, like, look, don't let this woman do this to you. If you allow it, then none of our women will respect us anymore. Get rid of her. Find somebody else to replace her. Now, that was already a destiny helper. Even though Vashti wasn't doing it against, you know, Esther or anybody. You know, she was just angry against her husband. You know, I don't know what happened or led to that. And she just would do it. But her being dethroned gave opportunity for Esther to step up. Well, she didn't even want to step up. Her uncle told her, Mordecai, step up. Put her in the contest. The beauty pageant and contest and everything. And she auditioned. She got selected. Her destiny was to be queen. But the providence of God was making all these things happen around her and leading her towards that. You know, and you know the rest of the story. When Haman versus Mordecai and all that, and when Haman would destroy all the Jews because Haman wouldn't bow down towards him, you know, even Haman himself, who was going to be the would-be destroyer of all the Jews, he wasn't satisfied with killing just Mordecai. He wanted to kill Mordecai and all of his tribe. He was so angry, so furious, and all his wife and his friends and everybody spurred him on, built gallows and everything. My goodness, you know, and I preach this called table in the presence of your enemies. God made this same Haman, who was so wicked, planned all this evil. By his own mouth, he was the one that pronounced all the blessings of what should happen to Mordecai, because he thought it was going to be for him. And God made him become even a destiny helper for the same Mordecai that he wanted to destroy. And not only that, the very gallows that he built were the gallows upon which Esther commanded that they should hang, you know, the same Haman and his folks and everything like that. And they defended themselves. So you can see how I'm trying to move these stories along now. You can see how, you know, these things work, you know, even when people don't know anything about it. Esther didn't know anything about this. And yeah, well, just because you don't know, it doesn't mean it's not your destiny. We see the same in the story of Daniel. He was a slave boy too. Daniel never knew that he was going to become chief of the presidents of the land. And we have that tremendous influence over all the land to the point where the king would say, look, from now on, if anybody says anything against the God of Daniel, let them be cut into pieces. He was just a slave. But in his heart, you know, I mean, he knew he was a royal seed already. But in his heart, he had integrity. And he, you know, he was going to stay with his God. No matter what, you know, but, you know, when he would be promoted, he had no idea. And all the things that happened, the people that hated him wanted to throw him in the lion's den and all that stuff. More and more, you know, after, because of all those things they did, which was an evil plan to destroy him, it made the king to honor him even more. When the king saw that, my goodness, king liked him anyway. You know, but they tricked the king into signing that decree, which you know the story. And then after the king saw that in Daniel chapter 6 that the Lord had delivered Daniel, he now made a decree. My goodness. So the very thing that was supposed to have destroyed Daniel, his destiny would be destroyers, or would be destiny destroyers that plotted to have him cast into the lion of den of lions. They themselves were cast down in there. The lions made mastery of them. Daniel was saved. The lions didn't touch him. The king now made proclamation. You know, so you can see how all the would-be destiny destroyers and actions to destroy someone's destiny, like in the case of Daniel, would actually led him to even greater promotion. Finally, after that, the king said, look, from now on, my goodness, you know, if anybody would do anything, you know, to the God of these, Daniel, my goodness, you know, he promoted him. He said, look, he is the living God, steadfast forever, his kingdom shall not be, and all these things, you know. And Daniel prospered, you know, and he took him out, and so on and so forth. Now, let's go to another story quickly. What about Mary? Yeah, Mary was a very strange story in the Bible. But let me bring out some things that you may not have thought about Mary. Mary, the mother of Jesus, that is. You know, Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14 prophesied. Genesis chapter 3:15 said the seed of the woman. Isaiah 7:14 said, a virgin shall conceive and all of that. So these things were there. There was a destiny that some woman who was a virgin would be the carrier of the seed, would be that, you know, the one that was chosen to, you know, where I talked about the seed of the woman. Well, Mary had no clue that it was her, and her life was going to be thrown upside down. You may not have talked about that. You know, her life was going to be thrown upside down. And she was a young lady, devout and everything like that. And all of a sudden, one day the angel will come to her and say, well, you know, you found favor before God and you're going to be pregnant. Pregnant? As a young woman that is not married? Ah! That was the most disgraceful thing, you know, That was the most disgraceful thing, you know, in all of the Jewish custom at that time. For a woman that was betrothed to be married, but not married, and hadn't come together with that man to be found pregnant for somebody else. That's the ultimate disgrace. You know, and her life was going to be thrown upside down. And she lamented over it. The angel comforted her and said, don't worry about it. There is destiny upon your life. And see, this wasn't something she was planning for. There's no way she could have known it. There's no way anybody could have known it was going to be her, even though that prophecy was there. Most people didn't really think of anything about it. But God prepared somebody. And her life was going to be thrown into disarray. Her betrothed fiancé almost even tried to put her away. You know, he loved her, but out of respect, was going to just put her away privately, not trying to make a big disgrace out of her. You know, but the angel told her, don't do it. She didn't do anything wrong. It was the power of the Holy Spirit that came up. There, Joseph was like, nobody understood all those things, but the fear of God, knowing that it was an angel of God that spoke to them, they just obeyed. I mean, Joseph didn't understand how somebody can be pregnant of the Holy Ghost. I mean, it had never happened before, but he obeyed. Mary herself didn't understand how she can be, but she said, well, be it unto me according to your word. And all of a sudden, her life changed, you know, and so on and so forth. Initially, it was for the worse, because she became a, you know, stigmatized in the society. Look at that woman, pregnant and so forth. You know, wow. You know, it was a shameful thing. She had to deal with that, you know, but God had a hand in it. Now, the things that God selects us for, the destiny of God in our lives may not always be pleasant at first, but that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand. God's providence will watch over that. And then the Lord protected the lady and everything. And even when her baby was born, there were other destiny destroyers too that would destroy that baby. Herod and the rest of them, they wanted to kill the baby because of what they heard, that he was going to be the king. King! Nobody can be king in the land of Caesar, other than Caesar. They made a decree to kill everybody. All the young males. Similar to what happened in the time of Moses, after the wise men, announced that. But God would also have, you know, his provision to guard, to protect, to supply, you know, for that destiny. God would use the angel to come and talk to Joseph and say, look, somebody is trying to kill this child. Take him to Egypt. Stay there until I bring you word again. Well, you know, that again, right act right there, was a provisional act of God to make Jesus, the little baby, to fulfill the prophecy of Hosea that said, out of Egypt have I called my son, which Matthew referred to. You know, said, look, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, out of Egypt have I called my son. All of those things happened in the life of Jesus. And God used dreams and things like that to protect him. You know, and so on and so forth. You know the rest of the story with Jesus. Well, I have some more examples here, but let me leave it there because there's a few more things I want to say. Listen, Jesus himself, let me just jump to Jesus. Leave the others alone. Jesus himself, you know, when he came, of course, he knew he was the one exception because he being God himself and he being with God from the beginning, knowing the plans of God, he was the only one that knew his destiny. None of these other people knew, but he did know. So for this cause I came. He knew that. But there were so many things that were happening along the way, you know, that, of course, in his case, he knew his own destiny. So there may be cases, and very likely none else other than Jesus that would know their destiny per se. You know, from start to finish, Jesus knew everything. In some cases, God will reveal the end, but he won't tell you the journey. We've seen many of those stories here, and so on and so forth. But the lesson today, let me bring it home. The lesson today is this. Number one, you know, there is something, the purpose of God, according to election, that he has planned for your life. Well, you need to discover it too. But whether you know it now or don't, doesn't make it any less your destiny. You may not be preparing for it. You know, David wasn't preparing to be king. All of these people that we read about were not necessarily preparing the things that they came to them. But he was going to be that. Even Saul, the king, the first king of Israel, he never thought he was going to be king. He didn't know anything about it, even though God eventually rejected him. But yet he was still king. His name is still in the history of the books. I mean, the books of history there. You know, so what God has for you in your life, let me bring it down home now. The counsel of God, the destiny of God, the purpose of God for your life cannot be disannulled. Not by any circumstances or events or anything else. The providence of God will protect that destiny in your life. Now, what we need to do is align ourselves with the will of God. Lord, what will thou have me do? That's what we need to figure out. If you don't know where you're headed, how are you going to know how to get there? So, you know, we need to know how to get there. We now have the Holy Spirit that is able to, and the Holy Spirit will never give you all of God's knowledge because you can't handle it. He will only reveal to you here a little, there a little, line upon line, priesthood upon priesthood, that you may trust him. You have to trust him. He'll not tell you everything. He'll tell you a little. You know, sometimes enough that, you know, you may even be confused, but he will guide you through. He wants us to trust him. You know, so as you go along this journey, here's one thing I want you to remember. God's providence is in play for your life. Whatever it is that God planned for your life tomorrow, which you may not even know today, you may know what you think you know today, but there may be something else that you don't even know that God has, you know. When David was a shepherd boy, he knew that he loved the sheep. He was going to fight with the lion or Goliath, I mean, bear or anything. He didn't know anything about Goliath at the time. You know, even before all of that, you know, there's a lot of things that happened to him that he didn't know anything about. But he knew where he was. He knew he was a shepherd boy. I was going to protect those sheep. You know, but God was preparing him also to be, you know, a shepherd to the God's children. I mean, God's people of Israel at the time, you know, and so forth. But he didn't know that, you know, when he was just a shepherd boy. So where you are today is not necessarily where you're going to end up. You know, when Mary was a young virgin, minding her own business and so forth, she never knew that she would be selected to be the mother of the Savior. There are many things that may be happening in our lives that we don't know, though that may yet to happen that you don't know anything about. But this should give you faith in your heart that God knows what's ahead and he will make provision. His providence will guide you to the end. Praise the Lord. Now, of the matters that we have spoken today, here is the summary. The things that God has elected for us in our lives, whether we know it or not, they are called destiny. But providence is the continuous act of God to protect, guide, and make provision for that destiny in your life to come to happen, to come to pass. That's his providence. That's in his hands. We can't do anything about that. You can't help God make provision. God already, you take care of it. Just relax. He's got it covered. In his mind, he calls it the expected end. In Jeremiah 29:11. You don't know about it, but he does. And he'll bring you there. Glory to God. So even now, see, even now, if things don't look quite like they should, especially when God has promised something greater. I mean, imagine what God promised to Joseph through those dreams. And everything looked 100 miles opposite direction. Well, here's how the Bible puts it. you know, this is a good scripture that I'm going to give you today for you to meditate upon when things don't look like, you know, what you thought God has promised and everything looks in the opposite direction. Think of this scripture in Job chapter 8 and verse 7. Job chapter 8 verse 7 said, though thy beginning was small, yet thy latter end shall greatly increase. You know, especially what God has apportioned and predetermined. The beginning may not look quite like it, but the end, it will greatly increase to it. Jesus said it himself. Except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, John 12 and 24, it abides alone. You know, but when that corn of wheat throws in the ground and dies, it looks like everything is dead. But when it begins to come out, it looks small at first. First, the blade, then the ear, then the full corn. And so it starts little. It looks like a cloud the size of a man's hand at first. But it's going to come to be a deluge and torrential rain, finally. You know, so God has provision through his providence to guide you to the expected end, no matter what it looks like today. So this is our lesson this morning. And may it encourage your hearts to know that God's got your back. He's got your future. He's got everything. He's got it all planned out. You may or may not know it. He may reveal some, and he may not reveal all, and he will not reveal all. But he may reveal some. And there are some things that we call divine appointments that God will put in play, even when you, the participants, don't know anything about it. Neither did Elijah or the widow woman know what God was planning. And even when God revealed it to Elijah, he knew some part of it. The woman still didn't know. But God said, I have prepared a widow woman to sustain you. How can you prepare her when she didn't even know anything about it? Well, that's God for you. God, you know, he has some things that nobody knows anything about. Well, he's cooking already. Glory to God. There are some things that God's cooking in your life. Can you smell it? You know, it's coming. Even if you don't know, even if you can't smell it yet, he's got it. You know, lift up your faith today and believe God that he's got his plans for you. And his purposes in your life cannot be disannulled. It doesn't matter how many would-be destiny destroyers gang up against you. God will turn that tables in your favor because his way is in the whirlwind. Hallelujah. The winds are at his steps. He can turn things around. You know, people don't know, you know, what the whirlwind looks like. It looks like it turns everything upside down. But God, you take all that upside down thing, put them right side up. All the people that plan to destroy these, some of these people that we've talked about, God used all of that. Masterminded the whole thing and turned it around to be the blessing, especially in the story of Joseph. Glory to God. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's our lesson today. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the room today and everyone that's listening. May we have understanding, and may our understanding increase. May our faith increase. May our souls and our spirit be united and emboldened to believe the Lord. You know, that he's got his plans and his hands are upon us. The hand of the Lord is upon you for good. And whether you see it or don't see it, whether you know it or don't know it, it doesn't make it any less your destiny that God has planned for you. And great things he has planned for you. Good thoughts. Thoughts of peace. Thoughts of great things. Now, never of evil. So that he might give you the expected end. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.